welcome to episode 49 of Divided by Werewolves. Once again, making a habit, a bad habit, some would say. Mr. Todd Brackey is here to...
Hi! Brandon, I want credit, actually. I want to know, this is three straight appearances, and in not one of these have I interrupted your introduction just for the lulls.
This is true. This is absolutely true, and
I feel like I'm growing.
I always pause because I know it's coming. I do too. I feel like you're growing as a person. And I mean, the reality is, with next week being E3, what should happen is we should be spooning in a hotel.
But that's true. Angeles,
that's what should be happening.
The historic Mayfair. I miss the.
I might just let you guys do episode 50. I might
nonsense.
I see. I can't do four. The streak will die here because in 2 weeks I'm in Colorado.
Oh,
Colorado. Yeah. Well. So that'll be the E3 episode. That's right. Oh, you're going to where in Colorado?
Estes Park.
Are you going to get high?
If there's opportunity to, I probably won't say no. But Michelle did some looking for me, and I couldn't find any place in Estes Park.
I have a friend in Colorado, actually.
That would be the first thing I would do upon landing would ask who the closest resident was, and could they get me weed?
Can I make a shameful confession?
Please.
In my life, I have never been high.
I haven't either, unless it was like prescribed medication.
Okay, what if it was prescribed medication, but it wasn't prescribed to you? Does that count?
No, I guess maybe, but like for me, it was prescribed for me. I was having a procedure, and I took said pill, and immediately, apparently, my eyeballs glassed over.
Oh, yeah. I've done that, but I've also taken pills that weren't prescribed to me and gotten high that way.
Oh, okay. But I have not.
That's so been a minute.
I haven't lived.
Like traditional drugs.
Prescribed, I should know.
Yeah, like I've never done street drugs, I guess would be the best way.
I'm super lame. I haven't either.
I know.
This is a podcast full of disappointment. We're like 5 minutes in.
I know.
We can all run for president. I've never sexually assaulted anyone, so that right now, there.
I don't think you're winning. Okay.
It's hard to tell these days sometimes, but I don't think I have.
There was that trailer came out this week for that Mr. Rogers documentary, and it occurred to me if it turned out he had a dark
that would just be
thing,
it,
I would be the end of my world in life, and I can't take anymore.
No, that would be it. Well, speaking of trailers, so I don't know. So were you guys fans of the girl with the dragon tattoo, the David Fincher one?
Did not see it.
No. Oh, really? Okay, I'm a huge David Fincher fan, but that movie is actually one of my least favorites of his, and I love the book. I still haven't seen the original one, but you know, it came out and it was kind of like it did okay, but not great. And then I thought they weren't going to do it, but they're doing the second book in that series, but a new Elizabeth Sander. It's the woman who plays in the Queen of England, Chloe Ford, I think her name is. But
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's weird because the first movies they did, I mean, they were huge in Sweden or Norway, whatever. Sweden, I think he's Swedish.
Yeah, like I remember the foreign films, but I didn't see any of them, and I didn't see the Fincher thing either. So
yeah, Noomi Rapace was Elizabeth.
Yeah. In those.
I liked it. It's just that I think the problem is it was really, really, really faithful to the book, and so I'd already read the book. So I was just kind of like, okay, cool. I know everything that's going to happen. And I mean, as good a filmmaker as Fincher is, like, I think, I like Gone Girl a lot more because I knew what was going to happen there too, but I still felt like it was just better. Like there's more kind of like surprise and stuff to it. Plus Ben Affleck was in it and Carrie was in it. So I could be saying no to that.
So I went and looked him up just because I wanted to remind myself what he's done. And Seven and Fight Club and
Fight Club,
Zodiac, motherfucker.
But
Zodiac.
I haven't seen Zodiac either.
What?
But
no.
You know this dude made his bones for like 10 years doing music videos.
Wait. Yes. Yeah. Hold up. Rewind.
Yeah.
You have not seen Zodiac?
I have not seen Zodiac.
I've watched the movies. That is my favorite, like top 10 movies ever. I've seen that movie so many times. I can't, and it's like 3 hours long. Like a not insignificant portion of my life has been spent watching Zodiac. And I fucking love it every time. It is fantastic. If you want like a good like crime / journalism story, like that's it, right?
See, that's why I haven't seen it. Like crime stories do nothing for me anymore. I actively avoid them.
But this was real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's amazing.
What kind of reaction you're looking for?
And there's so many good people in it. Oh my God, there's so many good people in it. We should watch it right now.
Yeah. Shut this shit down.
Yeah, goddamn right. And it's on like Netflix, or at least it was. You got to make it happen. Make it happen.
For you, anyway. I will think about it and then forget about it.
You know, that's all I ask. It's like my kids. Yeah. But you think about it. They just forget about it the minute it leaves my mouth. They're just like, yeah, no.
Such is my respect for you, Brandon.
I like it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. All right. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. We have some horror movies. I guess if that's what we're calling them these days. And Solo, yay. Let's see. Games real quick. I'm playing Detroit. And it is everything you would expect in a David Cage movie, which is horrible characters and bad writing and rain, a lot of rain. But it is. I'm having a lot of fun playing it, and people seem to enjoy the streams of it. So,
yeah, nice. Also, the it's people watching it on YouTube. Also,
yeah, and I think the reason there is they want to see like, okay, well, how did his experience differ from mine?
Yeah, it's been requested of me to play it as well and stream it so that they can see the different
thing, compare and contrast.
And you know exactly who I'm talking about that reached out to me to want me to do it. But yeah, so it's going to be probably soon for me as well.
Right. All right. And I did buy Friday the 13th because I reached out to Mitch and I was like, hey, maybe we could do this instead of Drunk Watch, but they're doing Double XP weekend this weekend. So that might
happen. They're doing Double XP on Friday also, like Friday 13th this weekend
only
too.
Only until 4.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can make that happen. So, Mitch, what are you doing? Anything exciting?
I have finished, and I thought it was only 2 years ago that I started this game. It's three, almost 4 years ago that I started The Evil Within. Mm. And I fucking finished it.
Well, good for you.
Last weekend. It's not that it's a bad game. It's a very difficult game. It like puts the survival in survival horror. We talked about this before. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about it on the show because I had picked it back up because I've owned part two since Black Friday this year or last year, whatever. And I've yet to start it. And I hear it's much better. And it's not that I don't like the first one. I really like it. But it's so fucking hard. And like even – so it's like you have to – almost, you know, psych yourself up to even play it because you don't know if you're going to spend an hour or 2 hours and make any progress whatsoever.
Nice. That's what I love. That's the exact thing I love about survival horror.
Right. So I finally fucking finished it. I was so happy. And then I put part two in and installed it, and I couldn't bring myself to turn it on because I was just like, you know what?
You had a little PTSD.
I need to decompress. I need to play it. Maybe something else in between here. Like, I don't think I'll be jumping into Evil Within 2 right away.
Right.
I'm not sure what I'm going to start next because I'm still, as you know, playing Destiny, as always. And then, doing my usual stuff Friday night, and shit like that. So just Destiny for me since I beat Evil Within last weekend.
Right. And I know you're excited about the reveal. Surprisingly optimistic about it, but at the same time, I have kind of gotten back into Destiny 2 because I finished Ni No Kuni 2 and I'm poor queue management. I don't have Vampire coming yet. And so I was like, well, I don't know what to play. So I did start to play Destiny again. And it's okay, but I'm concerned that I don't like it enough to care as much as I enjoyed the reveal for the – what's the thing called? The Forsaken.
The Forsaken.
Yeah. I'm concerned that I'm not going to give a shit come September. And it comes out the same day as Spider-Man. Come on. Like that, that's just not even a thing.
Destiny is the thing that I do when I either don't want to start something new or like.
Well, that's where I am.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's it's what I do when there's nothing else to do or when I'm just not ready to start something new yet. And that's where I'm at right now. Like, you know, and still with Warmind, there's shit that I want and need that I'm working towards. So like that, just that, I guess, sense of purpose or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. is what keeps you going back to the game. But I've bought an ungodly amount of shit lately that I haven't even put in a console. And this is old stuff and new stuff. And I still have a stack of PS4 games from Black Friday, most of which I haven't played yet. So, goodness. Yeah, it's the endless cycle.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Todd, how about yourself?
Oh, nothing. I got no games this week.
Nothing at all?
No.
All right. All right. Yeah, I'm disappointed that I'm not playing Vampire. It seems like trash.
Man.
But
surprisingly, though, like,
but in a good way,
well received so far. And
yeah. I was going to say, it seems to be kind of middle of the road reaction to it.
I love the idea.
Get shit all over.
Yeah, I love the idea of like of trying to decide whether you want to develop a personal relationship or eat them.
Yeah,
but know that if you develop that relationship and you learn to love them, when you eat them, it'll be so much better. That's some serial killer shit right there.
I know.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm willing to be like, I'm even okay with the fact that it sounds like the combat is nightmarish to be like, no, I'll watch your kid, you know? And, I, you know, like, and then when you sink down, you're like, has any flesh tasted so sweet? You know, like,
I love it. Yeah. I cannot wait to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm waiting for Steam. I do want to play this one just because it's from Don't Nod.
Yeah. I love to remember
Life is Strange. But I'm going to wait, I think, for a Steam sale or something before I dive in on that one.
Did you play Before the Storm, Todd?
I did not.
Yeah, me neither. Did they do that one?
I felt like, you know, with Life is Strange, I got my fix from the base game and I didn't feel a need to return to it, you know?
But did they do that or did somebody else?
No, that was somebody else that did that. Okay. I can't remember the name of the studio that did that, but it wasn't Don't Nod.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I Ni No Kuni 2, I fucking hated that game, all 60 hours of it, which doesn't speak very highly of me.
You loved the first one.
I loved the first one, and then I just kind of kept waiting for this one to get better.
Oh, didn't, that's disappointing to hear.
And then I just kept playing it. So, that's on me. Okay. All right. So, a bunch of movies to talk about. And, I mean, of course, we're going to get to Solo, the main attraction, first. But before we do, first, if you don't mind, Todd, real quick, Bones and I are going to talk about Thoroughbreds. That's the one you haven't seen.
This is the one that you can't watch unless you buy it right now?
I tried
looking up any streaming or rental option on that at all, and there wasn't one. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Anna Taylor-Joy and, God, I forget the name of the other woman, but she was in Bates Motel, and I loved her in that.
Olivia Cooke?
Yes. So they play girls in high school who had been friends at one point, and then Olivia Cooke, she killed her horse. And then her mom pays Anna Taylor-Joy to essentially hang out with her. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of conspire to kill Anna Taylor-Joy's stepfather. Mm-hmm. One of Anton Yelchin's final movies.
This was his final movie.
Oh, was it? Okay. And he was fantastic in it.
Yep.
It's funny. I was talking to my wife about it because I was explaining to my kids at the dinner table what this movie was about. And I was like, don't get any ideas. and so they're like, I said, you know, Anton Yelchin plays like an idiot. You know, he was hired to kill the guy and he didn't. And my wife was like, well, that doesn't make him an idiot. And I said, oh, no, he was genuinely an idiot.
Yeah, you have to watch.
Him not killing the guy didn't make him an idiot. He was an idiot, which made it so he didn't kill the guy.
Right.
But it ended up saving his life, so who's the idiot now?
Exactly.
I don't know. To me, it was good. It was more of a character kind of thing. Like I felt like they were going for like a super dark times kind of vibe with it.
Exactly.
Yep. But I don't think it was this good. I don't think it was as effective.
So for me, like I watched it. Just because of Anton Yelchin and Olivia Cooke. Like, I knew that's what I was interested in. And then I had friends who were like, oh, you know, they rate, they, you know, then they review shit or whatever. And they liked it a lot. And I was like, all right. But I was going to watch for Anton regardless.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very much a sort of a dark comedy, I think. Until you get to that twist at the end, which I didn't think. I think they felt like that was going to be such a weighty moment, and it wasn't. Because I mean, it was obvious. Like it was, you saw it coming. But I loved Olivia Cooke's character. Like
she was great.
She was so good. I relate to that girl. I tweeted it. I relate to that girl so much in this movie because I'm pretty much there myself. You know, I'm not trying to murder anybody, but
right. And I think that, you know, kind of what they were trying to do is be like, okay, well, here you have this person who by all accounts is like socially with it. And then you have this other person by her own admission, like doesn't really know how to be around people, doesn't know kind of how to feel things and has to fake it. And they, at the beginning, they kind of paint her as being, you know, kind of the weirdo for lack of a better word. Yeah. But she's, you know, she's the most kind of level-headed, realistic, almost the kindest one of them all. Once you realize why she did what she did, and then particularly in comparison to Anna Taylor-Joy. So, you know, I like that aspect of it, but I don't know if it was enough to kind of carry the rest of it, which was just kind of like
a build-up
to that. Like, who's the real monster?
You know, right. It's one of those movies I feel like like I said, again, I think it feels like it's more than what it is. And it's worth watching for at least once. You know, just it's not a bad movie.
No,
it's not just, you know, I think it was it had greater aspirations and it didn't quite meet them.
Yeah. Unlike our next movie, which is available streaming. So let me set the stage.
How dare you?
Please. I read Polygon. It's their fault. Polygon's their fault. They had this article that was like the 20 best horror movies on Netflix right now. And, you know, the thing about Netflix is for all the stuff they have on there, they are shit at telling you what is actually on their service if it's not a Netflix original or whatever. So I very much appreciate – you know, kind of what this site was doing by trying to say, hey, you know, so you don't have to scroll through these endless bands of Doctor Strange and Jessica Jones and, you know, whatever.
God, ain't that the truth.
Here are some horror – if you like horror movies, here's horror movies. And the problem is, and we talked about this before the show, there are a lot of really good horror movies on Netflix. And those horror movies were in this list. They just should have stopped after they talked about those. So after you talk about It Follows and The Void and Devil's Candy and Oculus and let's see. What else is in there? There's lots of good things. The Babadook, like after you finish talking about Train to Busan, you know, after you finish talking about all those, then just go read a book or go outside, play a game with your kids. But don't read further down the list and read about Desolation and go, well, that actually sounds good, and then watch it. And don't tell two other people to watch it. Or do that and then make them talk about it for nothing. Which is
that wasn't all bad.
Are.
It was short.
Okay.
Thank God.
Full disclosure, if it had just been them walking in the woods, I would have been fine with it.
I seriously was thinking that as I was watching it.
I really liked the two female leads. I liked their relationship. I liked the things they talked about. I liked they felt like they actually felt like they were friends or sisters or whatever.
Yeah, that were like going through something real. They didn't need strange hitchhiker guy.
Didn't need what is the greatest villain description in the history of modern cinema, Mr. Bones, Dollar Tree Rob Zombie.
It's really true.
And Todd's absolutely right. If it was just them, I think, to kind of walking through the woods and dealing with the death of the father and then the kid, the teenager being kind of sullen and whatever, it would have been fine. But then this asshole shows up and it just kind of then goes downhill, like literally in the movie and then also cinematically.
Yep.
And actually, here's what I would have preferred. If this guy never did anything to them and they just got more and more agitated as the movie went on, and then maybe like you know, they attack him or something, or, you know, right. Like he's not doing anything other than just like kind of creeping them out, which, you know, admittedly is not a good thing to do. You shouldn't do that. But right. he doesn't, you know, like assault them or do anything.
Right. Initially, like I honestly thought they were going to do that initially because he just didn't do shit.
Right.
He just stood there.
Right.
And I'm like, maybe this guy is not all there mentally or something. Like maybe he's not like this monster that they sort of think he is, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, me too.
And but no.
Then he no. kidnaps one of them, and then he kidnaps the other one. Yeah. And then it just becomes just a regular old we're in the forest with a madman.
Yeah.
Stupidity type of thing.
A madman who is strangely attached
to his sunglasses. Oh my god. I was oh, when man. I got to that point, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like he's just like, no, and the kid's like, yeah. I'm gonna throw these sunglasses in the fire. And I was like, wait, am I missing something? Because those are just sunglasses, right?
Right. I was like, if I wasn't done with this before now, I'm fucking done with this now. I'm done. Jesus Christ.
But it was short, to Todd's point.
Was it, though? Because
an hour 15.
Yeah. I know the runtime is short, but did it not feel like much longer than that to you guys?
Well, it turns out if you play Civilization Rise and Fall while you've got it on, it goes pretty quick.
It ended at 60 minutes, though.
I worked while I watched it.
It ended at the hour mark, and there's 15 minutes of nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm
sitting, they go to the car and the car doesn't start and they laugh about walking.
Right. And that was weird.
And I keep waiting for the guy to pop back up.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting for that too.
Flaming shades on or something. And
that would have been amazing.
I just watched
the smoldering ruins of his eyes.
I watched 15 minutes more of this of nothing.
And they were strangely didn't care that the other girl had her genitals carved out. They were just like, guess we're walking. And then the Andy Griffith tune.
And Jesus, that scene. I was like, that was completely unnecessary. Are you like, Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, Lord. Oh, she's not dead. And you're like, whoa. And I didn't really know what it was weird. It was weird. It was like, I don't know what it was. It felt like it didn't know what it was trying to be, and then it was – I don't know.
Well, to me, it was just there.
Yeah.
Just there. I mean, there's nothing there. And I was like, I've got it on. I'm trying to pay attention and also not because that's that. I'm like going, God, I finally, you know, watched like a horror movie.
I finally watched one of their stupid movies that they wanted me to watch.
And I'm like, am I supposed to be liking this? Is this good? God, and I don't understand why it's not – good. I'm really relieved to sit here and hear you, you know, trash it basically because I don't get why.
When it was on the list, they're like, you know, they said it was more like, I don't know. They named other movies, but they were more like, you know, it's about the relationships and the people. And I'm just like if they had done like It Comes at Night with it, where you genuinely don't know what is happening and whether there is actually a threat, then I would have enjoyed and respected it a lot more.
Sure.
But once it just turned into, he's a killer. And then we're going to hit him with a backpack full of rocks that don't look like rocks. And it's just like,
Holy shit.
Once the friend is dragged off, it just stops being interesting altogether.
Yes. Really.
Did you see, and I'm not advocating violence against children, but this person is a maniac who has already murdered and carved the genitals off of one of our characters. When he has the mom and the kid like goes after him, and like he goes after the kid. Did you guys notice how awful that was?
Oh, it was terrible.
When he went to fight the kid, like whatever. Yeah. And he sort of just slowly walked over and then just fell down.
Yep.
And it was supposed to him be like leaping at the kid.
Yeah. And the whole scene was muddled for me because on my second monitor, the screen's a little dark and I couldn't see shit. You're talking about the friend being mutilated that way. I couldn't even see that. All I saw was like a dark shape on her back when they showed from behind, but I couldn't tell what I was seeing.
That was her front. That was her front.
It was all curved out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I couldn't. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. It was
nice. I'm like, well, she looks dead now.
I don't want like a stuntman to pounce on an actual 13-year-old kid. Don't get me wrong, but my God, man.
Depends on
somebody just to fall forward in a drunken stupor and
just
be
don't
like,
slowly fall and be like, are you okay? okay, good, and then get up and pretend like we're still fighting each other. Like, that's right. That's what it looked like. Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah. So sorry, Todd.
Yeah,
you're fine. I'm just relieved.
You know, honestly, though, this is the first really like kind of bad movie I think we've watched in a while.
Yeah, it has been.
I mean, we've had ones where we've been like, you know what, it didn't really do what it set out to, or I'm just not really feeling it. And we certainly had those, but in terms of like really bad, because I know you didn't like I'm the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House, but at least that was more because of like a lack of anything happening, not like what was happening was.
It was a bad movie. It was just kind of boring to me.
Right. Right. So we haven't this had.
There's no redeeming quality to this. Like, I hope I never have to watch this again. I will not buy it. This is how bad it is. I'm not going to buy it, Brandon.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Not buying it. Sorry.
Good. I watched The Vault, which was another Netflix horror movie that had James Franco, and I love James Franco.
I'm curious about that, actually, because I've started it like 10 times and turned it off like immediately for some reason.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it was – I watched it right after this one, so it's probably not like, oh, my God, it's amazing. It's more that it kept showing up. Like, Netflix was like, you should watch The Vault.
I know. And finally, it's been the new releases or the trending for, like, a year.
Like, fine. I will watch The Vault. I will say Taryn Manning in it, super annoying. Super annoying. Oh, my God. But anyway. All right. So that brings us to – what is currently the worst performing movie?
Oh God! Do we have to start off with that
of modern cinema? Take the worst movie. I'm talking Waterworld. Mm-hmm. The sequel to Waterworld, which was even more watery world. I'm trying to think of movies that bombed.
Ishtar.
Think of the worst.
Geely.
Exactly. All of these. These all pale in comparison to the complete and utter failure.
The shit fest.
The unmitigated end of Disney and LucasArts. Yep. That is.
It's over.
I can't even say the name.
I feel like you're trying to tee something up here, and I don't understand.
They had a good run. They did.
They did. You know what? So, they should have if they knew. See, here's the thing. Here's what we're doing.
If I just wasn't so tired of seeing Star Wars.
You know what? This is what we're doing. This is Mitch, this is the first time you're going to hear about this. But in the interest of trying to boost our numbers and trying to make some money off this thing.
Since I didn't help.
We are going to turn into a anti-social justice warrior Star Wars YouTube channel.
And finally!
It's just going to be us ranting and raving about how all these feminists and social justice warriors are ruining Star Wars. And
can we run actresses off of the internet?
Oh, please. Oh, absolutely. I have them. I have their profiles keyed up. Woo. Now, the problem there is I don't know how to get on Instagram, but I have somebody working on it.
I have an Instagram.
Oh, awesome. Great. Let's harass people. My understanding is that that's all you need to have a YouTube channel that gets like 10,000 views every time you shit one of your fucking edgelord videos all over the universe.
Oh, man.
And
I can't
wait forward to it. Yep. And I'm down, you know.
So Solo.
Solo. Okay, so let's go around quick and just very – I just want initial sure. Like it or love it – or not like it or love it. Just thumbs up, thumbs down, and then we'll get into the details. And Todd, you're the guest, so I'm going to start with you.
I liked it. Okay. It was – I know you just do quick hits, but it's not anywhere near the top of the Star Wars list for me, but it was what I wanted. Fun – you know, fun romp through with familiar characters in a great universe, and yeah, I liked it.
Okay, Mitch.
Yep, two thumbs up. I enjoyed it. Good time.
Yeah, so did I. And in fact, I like it a lot more the more I kind of think about it.
Yep.
Than I did when it started. I mean, not when it started. When I originally watched it, you know, my thinking was kind of like, well, you know, they did a good job of saying, okay, these are the pieces that we know about. Let's fill in the gaps about those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's kind of like, all right, well, but that ends up kind of only being what the movie is. And I don't – now I don't feel that way. I don't feel like that was only what it was. I just – that's kind of how I felt when I first left it.
It was what it labeled – is labeled as. It's a Star Wars story. And you know, you give me a little – you know, it's – I Alden – how do you say his last name? Alden Ehrenreich?
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 I think it's Ehrenreich.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too.
I've heard nothing but, you know, bad stuff about him, and I thought he was good. I thought he had an impossible job to do.
Oh my God, yes,
and
he did.
Have easily turned in a caricature that would have been embarrassing, and he just kind of took the role. He took little bits and pieces of that character as Harrison Ford played it and did his own thing with it. And I thought it was fine. And for as troubled as this production was, having to fire directors and hire Ron Howard, I wasn't looking for this to be, you know, I was okay with a safe movie. And that's what this felt like. It was just a safe Star Wars tale. That's great.
Speaking to Alden Ehrenreich or whatever, like I kind of felt like I agree with you. I think that he had the impossible job. But and when the movie started, I was just kind of like, oof, I don't know.
Yeah,
and then
I
felt
agree with
like
that.
He got better. And I wonder, though, if it's because sort of that he was trying to sort of to do the whole thing where he wasn't a scoundrel or that character at the beginning, and then sort of the movie's twists and turns and whatever sort of made him into what Solo would go on to be.
I don't think he's as good playing. I mean, he's good as he's good at optimistic, because Han Solo is always optimistic.
Right.
That's part of what makes him such a good smuggler, is this idea, this I can do anything. It's fine. It's
just gonna work out.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do whatever. Look, it's okay.
Even in The Force Awakens, he was still like that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When he's like, like that is integral to not just him, but his line of work. Like, if you go into it being like, yeah, we're all fucked, nobody's gonna hire you. And I think that at the beginning of the movie, I felt like what he was doing was earnest. And he didn't do well at earnest. He does optimistic and potentially short-sighted in his optimism very
well. That's interesting.
But the earnest, I didn't feel like he did well. And the beginning, to me, that's what it was. And it just wasn't as – he just wasn't as good. Or maybe it just wasn't written well enough for that to come through as well as it should.
I think that's interesting, because that's – I'm going to have to see it again to get a feel for that, because when you're sitting down to watch that movie on a first run, you really don't know who he is yet, the character on. So you don't know who he is yet. I didn't have that perspective in my head at all when I was watching it. It was more like I spent a half an hour just trying to get used to, okay, this is the world I'm in. This is the corner of the universe I'm entering, and this is where these players are.
Right.
It would be interesting to rewatch with that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, even for knowing, okay, these are all the puzzle pieces we're going to put them in, what I loved is that they integrated parts of Force Awakens in it, as well as everything else.
Yep.
Like particularly the Kessel Run, when, you know, when he says it's 12 parsecs, and then you hear Chewie say something and he's like, you got to round down. In Force Awakens, Rey says, this is the ship that did the Kessel Run, 13 parsecs. And he's like, it was 12. And I love that.
Which goes back to A New Hope as well. You know that, right?
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They said 13. I thought they always said 12.
It says 40. It's 12. It 12, less than 12. It's in A New Hope.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. Well, there you go.
It's a true story.
So I mean, and for all the, I don't know, I guess I felt like it just, the way that they told the story, I was okay with. Like I liked it.
Absolutely.
So my favorite parts about it were that, you could very easily, it's called Solo for God's sakes. It very easily could have focused just on Han Solo and his story and this and that. But the thing about Han Solo as a character is you have so many other players that are just as important. And so the fact that Chewie was as big as he was, and even the fucking Falcon, man. Like, the fact that the Millennium Falcon was one of the main characters in this movie.
Yes.
I loved. Yeah. I loved so much how much homage and respect and just such a focal point they put on the Falcon. And not just because Han's going to win it from Lando in a game later. Like, it's just such a revered thing. It's its own character.
Right.
Well, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say I love the bit of, and I want credit for calling this, but L337, the droid. I didn't care for that droid as a droid character. I like the droid in Rogue One much more.
Yeah, she.
But
I agree.
The first time she plugs into the Falcon when she's still a complete droid, I'm like, the first thing I thought of was Empire Strikes Back. and 3PO saying, you know, I don't know where your ship learned to speak, but it's got a very peculiar dialect. And I'm like, yeah. Shit, she's going to end up in the ship before this movie's done.
See, yeah, I don't remember any of that stuff because I'm bad with these things.
I turned to Michelle and she was engrossed in the movie. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to interrupt. But I was like, I'm calling this right now. And then it happened. And I was proud of myself because that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was more like I more understood why. I mean, obviously, captains have relationships with their ships like that. Right. But just the reverence that Han's always had for her, and also just like, you know, we've been through a lot together. Like knowing that there actually was a person in that ship, and not just you know, not the way you feel about your first car.
Right.
It made it even better.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Yep. And it was nice to—I mean, it was nice to see the Falcon in its true glory.
Yeah,
as the ship it was meant to be.
All the parts,
and then see how it gets trashed.
Right.
and when they land on the planet towards the end, and Han does this thing where he's like, you know, we've got a whole legion of, you know, troopers in that ship, and Lando just takes off without him. I was rolling.
Yeah. I mean, and Donald Glover was amazing. I mean, he was fantastic. He's
good at everything he does.
He is, but I mean, there was that, he had the voice, you know.
He did the early voice, dude.
He did.
It was so good. Oh, I was so
happy. And your little rant last week about the pansexual thing was totally earned out in this movie.
Yep.
He doesn't mess around.
No,
he does not mess around. You know, what I would love to see, though, especially knowing, you know, kind of how Lando left it, is how does he go from there to Bespin? Like, that's what I would love to see. Mm-hmm. Is to know, you know, how does he go from that guy to, you know.
Right. And see, I never realized this, or maybe I didn't remember it or whatever, but Bespin was supposed to be a mining colony.
Yeah. they mine the gas.
I never, for whatever reason, that didn't occur to me. And then I thought it was kind of weird that he watched this robot or droid or whatever that he appeared to have some sort of at least relationship or at least emotional connection to died on a mining colony.
Yeah.
And then he goes to running a mining colony. I'm like,
I think, all right. You know what? I think for him, it's just, it's opportunity. You know, just wherever the job is, whatever opportunity I can make money, that's
sure.
That's
but he was clearly, you know, not a, like he was distraught over that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Know? And then it's like, and obviously he's young and he's older when we get to Empire, but still, I was just kind of like, really? I don't know about that.
Yeah. So one of the things though that they do seem to do is they you know, this whole template of, you know, kind of wacky droid.
Getting bored with that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we, unfortunately, as much as I love the game, I think you can put that firmly at the feet of HK-47. Because he was the first.
That's reasonable. I mean, 3PO and R2 have always been comic relief, but it really went over the top. Relief,
but HK-47, to me, was the first time you realize that a droid can have a personality that is not subservient, because all of their kind of, you know, comic relief. I mean, 3PO and R2, and R2 will talk back, but at the end of the day, they're still kind of like butlers. All the droids in the original movies are like butlers or servants or whatever you want to call them. For me, it wasn't until HK-47 that I was like, this guy's got personality. He's got his own agenda. He doesn't give a fuck about people. He's going to do what he wants to do. It's like a person who just happens to be an android. And I think, you know, I think this is where a lot of these, you know, these movies and these things that we're seeing now, even though this stuff now isn't canon anymore, like they all drew from these things, and to have, you know, to kind of have that influence. But I am kind of getting a little tired of it, only because they seem to go out of their way to make them now like super wacky.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. I mean, like in Rogue One, what was the droid?
Alan Tudyk.
Shit. K2SO or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. K2 is good. That droid actually in that movie had an arc, right?
Yes.
You know, it went through a thing and it came out the other side. It had the ending everybody else had, but it had an arc. It actually in some ways grew. L3, I think that's the weakest part of this movie, because the fact that this is a droid that wants droid liberation is actually kind of interesting to me, even though it was a little ham-fisted, I think, the way they treated it on screen. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what was going to come of that? Because we know nothing comes of that. Nothing comes of it in the original trilogy. Nothing's coming of it in the sequel trilogy. That's never a thing. So they bring up the stake for the core of this character that has no place to go whatsoever other than plugging it into the Falcon, which they could have had without all that other stuff anyway.
Right.
So that, to me, that was the one thing that just didn't pay off to me. And where the droid, to me, the droid character really got in the way of everything else that was so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing was that I think that I'm not going to say I didn't like it, but the only thing that worked for me was just kind of showing Lando caring about someone other than himself.
I agree. Right. I like that very much. It was the droid shtick and how much time they devoted to this whole droid liberation concept for really no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right. And you wonder if kind of part of the reason they did that is it just helps inform Han's idea of, you know, you got to limit your connections to other people because whether by betrayal or death, you know, eventually they're going to leave you. I don't think so. I think that's me reaching a little. I mean, definitely the whole thing with Kira informed him.
Yes.
But I don't know if the stuff with Lando did.
And, you know, it took me until like the next day in the evening, I was reading something about a couple of directors on Game of Thrones to realize Emilia Clarke was late Emilia Clarke. I'm like, the whole movie, really? I'm going, I know this. I know who this is. Why can't I think of who this is? It was like, oh, crap, it's Khaleesi.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, took me forever to figure that out.
That's funny.
Yeah. Whereas Paul Bettany as Dryden Voss took me about 10 minutes. Like, holy shit, it's Vision.
Apparently, you know, I guess originally that was supposed to be like a motion capture. It's supposed to be like a lion man or something.
Oh, really?
I think Paul Bettany was supposed to do the motion capture and the voice and stuff, but then they were just like, well, shit, this guy's great. Let's just have him be Paul Bettany.
Or maybe it was a Ron Howard change.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a lot to invest if they
started. Supposedly they reshot like 70% of the film, I think.
Yeah.
Was it that much?
I don't know if that's true. I could be talking out of my ass, but that is a number I heard thrown out in something about this movie.
No, because I was reading why the two guys didn't get a director's credit.
Lord and Miller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and how much they actually directed plays into that.
Wow.
Okay. And they said, yeah, it was like 75% done. But I mean, so as something that Phil, because I mean, up until this point, right, like that was always kind of the thing that was good. You call good, you call bad about the original movies. We kind of just dropped these tidbits and then they would have people fill in the bits on their own. And anytime you have the author, for lack of a better word, fill in those bits, you know, you kind of go, well, that's not what I thought. And maybe I like it. Maybe it's better than what I thought. Maybe it's
certainly
worth it,
not going to please with this fan base, especially like the fact that the Kessel Run even shows up in this movie was like, you're going to piss off at least half.
Right.
Like, there's no way to please.
Except they made it make sense.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Did you guys like it? Like the bits that were filled in for you, did you like it?
Absolutely.
Sure. Nothing really bothered me.
But I mean, I loved Rogue One. I think I like Rogue One more than any four people I know. And I like it more every time I see it.
Rogue One.
That movie's amazing.
I think so. Yeah. There are people though that hate that movie, and I'm like, I don't understand. I don't.
I rewatched Last Jedi 2 weeks ago. I don't understand people who hate that movie either.
No. I really don't understand that. But
that's one that I sort of had a similar thing to you, Brandon, with this one. It's like, it was so, like we talked about on the show, I know we did, but it was so jarring and different from what I expected following Force Awakens that I would left the theater and I was just like, I don't know if I like that. But then more I thought about it and then watching it, I've seen it like probably four times now.
Mm-hmm.
I like it more every time.
Yep. Yeah. It's one of those rare movies that can do that, I think.
I guess for me what it is the things that people don't like, I don't understand why they say they don't like it here, but they don't have a problem with it in any other movies. Like,
I, have, If you
want to talk about plot holes and underdeveloped characters,
oh my god,
dude, pull up a chair. We'll talk about the original three.
I was going to say the whole premise for Star Wars is a space wizard did it. So what is your thing exactly? I don't get it. Star Wars has never been believable.
Right, and not just that, but they drop shit in there, and then they never get back to it.
Yeah,
I mean, the original trilogy do that all the time, and I'm fine if you at least say, yeah, no, I get that, but those movies were like an important part of my childhood, and so I give those a pass. At least say that.
Right.
Admit that you're giving it a pass.
Because then I could at least be like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Like, I totally understand. But to just be like, no, I don't like it because of these things, and then be like, well, you know, this other movie did it. And they're just like, no, it didn't. You know. Fuck that.
And likewise, if someone tells me they don't like the original trilogy and they don't like these new movies, I can be like, okay, I feel you. Yeah, I get that. It's not your cup of tea. Sure. That's cool.
Star Wars isn't your thing.
How can you possibly tell me you love the original trilogy and have problems with any of these movies that are coming out? And one of the things I love with Rogue One and with Solo is that they're using this opportunity to do what I think Disney's doing an excellent job of. They've been doing it with Marvel, and they're doing it with this, to just tell different kinds of Star Wars stories.
Yes.
And it doesn't always have to be the same shtick. It doesn't always have to be the same pattern. It's, you know, Rogue One was a war movie.
It was a straight war movie.
And
the first Star Wars movie that put war in the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because it was a war movie.
Yep. And Solo is just a high stakes adventure story. Yep. And
it's Indiana Jones in Star Wars.
Yep. I wanted to make that comparison, but like, is that too on the nose with another Harrison Ford vehicle?
I know. That's, I mean, I'm going to call it like I see it, man. That's exactly what it felt like.
I agree with you 100%.
So here's one of the things I really liked about Solo, and I thought this was cool, is apparently one of the things that they do in pre-production just to kind of help the actors out and help the visual artists kind of understand whether something like works or not, is they will actually build like VR representation of kind of what they're asking people to do, just to go, does that make sense? Does
like with the sets and stuff?
One of the things they did is when they were trying to figure out, could somebody jump from one train car to the next? And so they actually put it in VR. And they realized, yeah, somebody could. Like, they had a guy, like, somebody held the cable, and he jumped to essentially do one thing to the next to see if it was something that an actual person could do.
That's awesome.
I thought that was just really, really cool that it wasn't just them going, yeah, you know what, it doesn't matter.
They're aliens. They could do that.
Right, exactly. And to me, that just – I don't know. I just respected it a lot more.
Oh, my God. I love that sequence, by the way. Like,
that was a great sequence. It was.
They would – what you want about the movie up until that, but that's pure fucking Star Wars right there. That is just high action. The music was perfect. Like the situation, all the circumstance, the things that were happening while they were, the shit wasn't going right. It was pure fucking Star Wars.
Yeah. Yep. And I think for me, I mean, initially one of my issues with it was just kind of the stakes of the movie, for lack of a better word. Like, one of the things that I loved about Rogue One, but also hated at the same time, is there's a moment in Rogue One. So you're kind of watching the movie and you're like, well, I don't really know anything about these characters. I've never heard anything about them before, but it doesn't really matter because they've never told this story before. And there's a lot of stories that have been told in Star Wars. And maybe these guys just went, you know, they kind of did their thing and they're like, you know what, we're out. And they lived in some portion of the galaxy, never to be heard of again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the first person dies. And then the second person dies, and then the third, and you're just, and then you get that moment where you go,
there, it's
holy shit, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about these people because they don't survive. And you realize that's everybody.
Yep.
And so even though it kind of dawns on you that you know what's going to happen, you're just still like amazed that they were kind of willing to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing here that, and not, and I've kind of been thinking about this because there's a criticism that I have, and there's a criticism that other people have. But I also went, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily valid, because every time you read a Spider-Man comic or a Batman comic or a Superman comic and you see they're fighting against this person or the other person, you don't think they're going to die.
Right.
You know that eventually they're probably going to survive, and it may just be a horrible journey for them to get to that survival. But not knowing whether or not a character is going to live or die doesn't necessarily make it bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
We talked about that with Infinity War, really.
Yeah.
Right, but at the same time, I think it's because Solo arced to a place we kind of already knew that it felt like there wasn't necessarily going to be like a surprise. And I think that was just my mindset of, well, it doesn't, you don't have to have a surprise.
Right.
You can just enjoy seeing how they go from A to B.
Yeah. So
path kind of along the way.
Okay. Right. So how did you two feel about this? This, cause there was a surprise at the end of this movie. It just didn't seem to connect to anything.
I loved it. Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Did I love it.
Now see,
so
I'm going to tell you, I absolutely loved it too, but I loved it though in the context of I'm watching the Clone Wars animated series right now with the kids and we've watched all of Rebels,
which, nice.
You know,
yeah.
Which gives me context for that appearance. Like, I wasn't going, wait, what the fuck is he doing there? I'm like, of course he's there. Oops.
Right. Like, I knew that he was still alive. I have Clone Wars queued up. I haven't watched Rebels yet. I knew he was still alive. So for me, it wasn't like – it was a surprise that they actually did it. And they did Ray Park doing the body, the voice actor from Rebels and Clone Wars doing the voice.
Yeah.
It was the same voice actor.
All I wanted at that point was I want essentially the way that John Wick has built up this mythology around an underground criminal enterprise and a whole infrastructure of criminality. Holy shit, do I want that so bad for Star Wars.
Yep.
Because that's the thing, right? Like, that's the thing about – when you have an oppressive government that spans worlds, entire galaxies, and you see – and you can only imagine the criminal enterprise that would be able to successfully grow under them. Because as far as the Empire is concerned, they're probably like, as long as you don't fuck with us,
right.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Whatever keeps these people here afraid and in line, I don't care.
Yep.
And so the criminal enterprise that would grow under that – the mushrooms that would grow under that shadow, for lack of a better word, that is what I want to see. So that little peek through that keyhole, I was like, yes. And God, I so hope that the powers that be don't take the financial performance of this movie that we bullshitted about at the beginning and go, you know what?
People don't
want that because I so want that.
I do.
I want a Star Wars movie where no one is a hero, where it's just like – I mean, if you look at John Wick, right? Like, I mean, we all cared about John Wick because they killed his dog, right? But as a person, the things that he did to get to where he was and then the things that he did after that, he wasn't doing these things because he was a good guy.
Right.
He's not a hero.
No.
We just all were like, you killed a puppy, so you need to die.
You got
to
go.
And anyone you know need to die. And if I flip through your phone and I find a name in your contact list, they need to die too. But John,
who the fuck is mom? She's got
to
go.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, bitch, call her. Tell her to make a plan because I'm coming over tonight. So I think that, you know, you can tell a story about villains as long as you give the audience one villain to like more than the others. And Solo kind of set the template for that because they're bad people. Bad, maybe like as evil, but they're bad people doing bad things, and we're just like, yay. And when they open that door to show this criminal enterprise, I'm like, fuck yeah, man, I'm all in. Do it. Like, let's do it. I don't give a fuck about Boba Fett. Unless, here's the only way I care about a Boba Fett movie. Here's the only way. Is if it opens up with him in the Sarlacc and a voiceover going, I bet you're wondering how I got here.
The only person that can do that is Shane Black. They'd have to get
Shane Black. And then the first half of the movie is him getting into the Sarlacc pit. And the second half is him getting out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that movie does not work with it leading up to, like, it just doesn't. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to craft a story that ends with him as Sarlacc poop. Doesn't happen.
Here's the problem.
Especially going in like a chump.
Yeah.
Especially going like a chump and knowing what we know about the prequel. They set up Jango Fett to be this fucking badass.
That's the problem. Is the prequels.
And it was like, pew, 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 and he lost his head.
Yeah.
And then Boba Fett goes, oh, no.
Guess I'm going to paint the armor green. I got shit to do now.
Well, two things, because there's two tie-ins now to the animated series. I know Clone Wars specifically goes back to Young Boba in a way that I haven't seen the whole set. I've only watched the first two seasons and a little bit of the third so far. What they come back to with Boba so far is really interesting with him as a young kid. And how he deals with the death of his father and all that, and also being this young clone in a world like surrounded by clones of himself or his dad,
right?
Is very interesting. And then also with the Darth Maul thing, Mitch, did you watch Rebels?
No, the continuation of Darth Maul from Phantom Menace that I'm familiar with happened in comics. I have not seen those shows. Okay.
Oh, yeah, they did really good. Was it like a 4-issue series?
Well, they did, but he came back in a Star Wars Tales is when they first showed him. It was like a short story that showed him.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, guess what? That wouldn't necessarily kill somebody from his race or whatever. So he's fine. He's got robot spider legs. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, the spider legs. Yeah, and then his brother like rescues him and gets him like helps him like psychologically. And then he gets real legs and
Well, he has a big arc in Rebels. Right. But I don't want to spoil any of it for you, but there is a scene with him and old Obi-Wan. There is a re-encounter that comes. Ooh. And I will just tell you that it is one of the single best done Star Wars scenes of anything I have ever seen.
I don't want to
oversell it, but it is amazing.
Like, I wish one of two things. One, Disney would go ahead and get their streaming thing going so that I can watch Rebels.
Right.
Or that it was available somewhere else. Because Clone Wars is on Netflix, but Rebels is not. So.
Right.
Yeah, we've been watching it live here. Yep.
I mean, right now, I don't really have a good legal way.
Exactly.
Other than purchase it, which I guess they probably have it on disc somewhere.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Is it on Hulu? I thought it was on Hulu.
I don't have Hulu.
Okay. I have Hulu. I'll have to check.
Because I have Netflix. I have Amazon Prime. It's not on those. But, you know, because I was thinking, you know what? I kind of hope that Disney, when they do their streaming thing, because they've said, we're not going to make it like Netflix. It's not going to be something like that. You know, like one of the things that Amazon Prime does is they have all these add-ins. So you can add HBO or Shudder or Showtime. If they made it so like, hey, $5 a month, you can add Disney. Fuck it. Done.
Yep.
Done. You know, okay, cool. Yep. I'm gonna spend $4.95 of that watching Thor Ragnarok, and then the rest of the time, like, just repeatedly over and over again. But no, I mean, I think one of the things too that we haven't talked about for this is Chewie, which was one of the best parts of this movie. Yep. So the guy that plays him, and I'm going to get it wrong, so I'm not even going to try. He also plays Chewie in I believe he played him in Last Jedi. I don't think he was in Force Awakens, but I'll look. But that kind of seeing the build of that relationship, like the first time that like
Kira's
in the co-pilot seat and telling her what to do, and Chewie's like, hit this, hit this, hit this, and she's like, why don't you sit down? I was like,
Okay, true story. We get out of the movie, and Michelle hasn't even seen the original trilogy until the last 6 months. She's like, we got out of The Last Jedi, and she's like...
Was she, like, homeschooled?
She didn't care. I mean, a lot of those people were out there. You know what? But we had come out of The Last Jedi, and she's like, I think I'm ready to watch these now. And we tried before, but she fell asleep. Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Tell me something.
Not this past Christmas, the year before Christmas, I said to my wife, you know what's a really good movie? And she's like, what? And I was like, Force Awakens. And she was like, fine. Christmas miracle. And I teared up when Han died. And she's like, are you seriously crying right now? And I was like, I seriously am. Just leave me to my pain. Fast forward to like 3 months ago. And we were talking about – I made her watch Rogue One. She was like, yeah, it's good. And we were talking about Star Wars movies. And she just goes, yeah, they're just – they're fine. And I was like, what? And she's like, they're fine. I like Star Trek better. And I was like, no, I get that. Chris Pine's gorgeous. Like, I understand that. If you had a chance to be with him, I'd say Godspeed. Text me. Let him know how it is. You know? But I wouldn't fault you in the least. And she was like, I think Star Wars is just – it's boring. And I was like,
what?
You did not. I'm like, we have been together over 20 years now. How the fuck am I just hearing this now? She's like, it's boring. I think it's boring. And I was like, How? There's space wizards. There's laser, laser swords. There's giant space monsters. How the fuck do you find? And she's like, I just find it boring. And I was like, oh my God. Star Trek. Is
Jesus Christ.
And she's like, would that have been a deal breaker? I was like, fuck yes, that would have been a deal breaker. You are like, if that had been like, if I had known that, do you realize the path my life would have taken if the first night we met, you said Star Wars is boring? I'd like, bitch, I ain't even got time for this. Go back to fraternity house. I'm out. I'm gonna pay for it tonight.
So that kind of stepped over my story, but yeah.
Yep. No, go ahead. So you're saying
she's only seen the movies recently, like the original trilogy, and actually watched them, but she's like, I got misty when Chewie sat down in the co-pilot's chair. She had an emotional reaction to that, and this is all new to her.
Oh, yeah. Junus, J-O-O-N-A-S.
Suotamo.
Yeah, so he was in Last Jedi, and he was in the Force Awakens video game. He was also the double. He was Chewie's double in Force Awakens, but I believe Peter Mayhew still played Chewbacca
in Force Awakens. Yeah.
One of the things that I like the most about this movie is establishing Chewie as his own character as opposed to just like a side thing.
Right.
I loved everything about the way they became friends, mm-hmm. partners. You know, like I love him trying to speak Wookiee. Like that was great. Yep. Like that was like every bad Chewbacca impression anyone right. Yeah, it's like I speak a little, and I'm like, well, shit, we all speak apparently.
Exactly. What did you guys think of? I don't know, and maybe it's just me being weird. And, you know, he was a prisoner, so it's hard to hold it against the dude. But, like, they sort of, I don't know, they didn't come right out and say it. But the hint was very much that Chewie had been eating people.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was weird.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
He hasn't been fed today.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just me because I love Chewie so much. But, like, that was like, oh, I don't know if I like
the implications.
That.
They were just throwing a meat bag down there and Chewie was going to go to town on it, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, that would definitely – no, that definitely was the implication.
Yeah. So that was kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? At the same time, you know, if it was somebody that had, like, been mean to him
– they said he hasn't eaten in 3 days or whatever it was, and then – they sort of hint to the fact in Jedi because he falls into the Ewok's trap because there's meat hanging there. And it's like, you're always thinking with your stomach. So we know
he tried to eat the porg.
Yeah, we know he's right. Well, he eats meat, but I just thought it was kind of, I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it.
He did rip a dude's arms off.
He did.
He did.
Maybe it's me making excuses, but I'm like, it's fine if he eats a porg and it's fine if he eats whatever that thing was hanging on Endor. But you meet people.
Like, yeah, but look at it this way. To him, what's the difference between a porg and a person?
I know.
It's not a Wookiee.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Look. Look, I saw a story today where some guy said that he ate a piece of his own amputated leg, and I actually thought to myself, well,
oh, shit.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's yourself. I mean, it's not, you didn't like kill anybody, and you didn't. Like, if you just wanted to know, let's just say you just wanted to know.
Is this an episode of Hannibal, or is this a thing that happened?
It was a thing on Reddit. I didn't read it. It was like, I ate a piece of my own amputated leg. Oh, ask me anything.
Jesus.
And all I'm thinking of, just hear me out. All I'm thinking of is if that was something that you wanted to know about, and you have no legal means to get there.
There are no legal means.
But is it illegal to eat a piece of yourself? I don't know.
This is different than picking a scab or whatever. That's which is disgusting. This is a whole new level of fucked up.
All I'm saying is, you can't do that. But for Chewie, everything that's not a Wookiee is potentially
food chain,
right? Like my wife and I, we talked about this once, and I said to her, "Okay, full disclosure: if we were ever somewhere that served dog, I would eat it." Because I would want to know what it tastes like. I'm not saying I want to eat one of the dogs. I'm just saying that if they offered it, the curiosity in me would be enough to where I'd be like, yes, I want to eat it. And she was like, how could you possibly do that? And I was like, what do you mean? It's not it's not a per, like it's not my dog. I'm not saying I want to eat my dog. I'm just saying if dog was available, I would want to know what it tastes like. And maybe that's how it is for Wookiees. Maybe they have people. Maybe people is are like pets.
Is he?
Is he what?
Well, Mitch said he, you're right, and I'm like, are you?
At the end of the day, the only species that is kind of, you know, I think culturally forbidden across all cultures is your own, right? And only for people.
Yeah.
Only for people.
Right. Right.
You grind up a chicken and feed it to a chicken, they'll fucking go to town on that chicken. You throw a pig, give it to a pig, they'll fucking eat that pig. They won't even think twice about it.
Right.
It's just people. So, carrying that out to a Wookiee, if they haven't eaten for 3 days and you throw it on a motherfucking person, he may not like it, but he might eat it.
You're right. And part of the weirdness comes from the fact that I don't view him as a Wookiee. To me, he's a person because he's Han's buddy, his partner, you know, whatever. And sure, he's hairy, but still, I guess.
Look, I'm just going to say that's a deleted scene I don't want any fucking part of.
If we can assume that both Lando Calrissian, Peter Quill, and Peter Quill's dad have fucked a whole galaxy's worth of space orifices, okay, because they go, it's fine, it's cool. We can assume that a Wookiee will eat anything that's not a Wookiee to varying degrees, given the right circumstances.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yep.
I'm glad.
Man, I am not glad I brought that up. I'll tell you that.
You know what? You know what? It's getting to a point where anything really, it's just a bad, deal. Nothing is sacred anymore. That being said, I really did enjoy, like, it wasn't for me. Like, you know, we always knew that, like, Chewie had a life debt, but the fact that, like, it wasn't just, okay, Han rescues him, which was a selfish act. The only reason he rescues Chewie is because he needed him to get out. Mm. But being able to rescue those other Wookiees on the mining colony, it was the only time outside of, you know, comics or the holiday special or, you know, whatever, that we've seen a Wookiee with other Wookiees.
Yeah.
Well, the prequel trilogy had a couple scenes in Kashyyyk.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It did. I forgot those movies existed. I tried to pretend they did.
For the best.
It's for the best, yeah. Yep.
But I like the fact that it sets up, like, why, you know, aside from just, you know, kind of liking this guy and kind of wanting to pal around with him, you know, why Chewie felt so indebted. Because, I mean, there was a fair number of Wookiees that ended up getting rescued.
Yep.
On that planet. So, okay, so as far as, like, his, you know, Han's journey, you know, do you feel like it made sense in terms of, like, him going from what we saw at the beginning of the movie to what we knew about Han, like, in New Hope? Do you feel like this movie kind of set enough of that up to go, yeah, I can kind of see how he got from point A to point B?
So,
I guess so. It may be a little rushed, but, you know, they only had a 2-hour and some odd minute movie to do so. You know, I think that that journey or transition probably happened over a much longer period of time, but, you know, for the beginnings of him becoming that person, I think he did a good job.
I absolutely liked where it dropped him off, but I remember thinking, since I've seen it, that his arc is really pretty flat. He's pretty much the same guy going out of the movie that he was at the start of it. But when you were talking about him potentially being a much more earnest character at the beginning and becoming more cynical, now I want to see it again and see if I misread who he was at the start. Mm-hmm. And maybe he has more of an arc than I thought he had.
I agree with you, Mitch. I feel like they tried, you know, they did try to say, okay, we're going to show in this entire movie how he went from point A to point B. But at the same time, you know, I felt like it was, you know, you could kind of see how if he stayed the person, because, I mean, it's not just necessarily Han being the smuggler. It's a smuggler who decides to do what he does and throw in with the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they establish Han as a person who kind of, I think at his core, is still a good guy. He just is kind of taking a different route to...
He's trying to get by best he can.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, he's making his way in the world today. I mean, it does. it takes everything you got.
It Sometimes does.
You want to go.
You know. Which brings us to, and I can't believe we didn't mention this up until this point, and then, you know, we probably need to cut it short, is Woody Harrelson, who has grown to be one of my absolute favorite actors.
He's amazing.
Between this movie and The Last Planet of the Apes, where he was fucking phenomenal.
And Billboards.
Thank you, yes. But the Planet of the Apes stands out, I think, more for me because he just chewed – like he just went fucking all out in that movie.
Yep.
I liked him in this. I liked him kind of setting almost like a template for Han.
Yep.
You know, like who he kind of felt like he had to be.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just – for me to see – like Woody Harrelson go from being Woody on Cheers to being a Star Wars movie. Yeah, like, I mean, I kind of grew up watching Woody Harrelson, and it's just such an awesome thing to see that.
So can I state an unpopular opinion then? Because I feel the same way about Woody Harrelson you do. And I have talked to multiple people from Michelle to coworkers on down. I think – and I like the role his character had in this movie, but I felt like Harrelson himself phoned it in. I just felt like he was just kind of there being Woody Harrelson. I don't know if that's harsh. I am obviously not an actor's act. I don't know shit about the craft. I'm not trying to say anything. Just that for me, he was like – in terms of the actor on screen, it just – to me, he disappeared into his role the least. I don't know why that is because nobody else I talked to feels that way.
Maybe I just like him enough to where I don't care.
Well, right. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe I like him too much. Maybe I'm like, hey, it's Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I guess I don't have to watch him. I mean, when in terms of like something like, you know, Planet of the Apes or Three Billboards, I mean, there's definitely – I think what it is I feel like this movie kind of – how I picture Woody Harrelson to be in real life. I feel like they were just like, hey, we want you to just be you. Whereas some of the other movies I've seen him in recently have him being a stretch – not a stretch, but he does have to reach more for being that person.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas this movie was just like how I kind of picture, like if they made a movie where Matthew McConaughey was like a laid back kind of stonery guy, I'd be like, well, he didn't have to work real hard on that.
That's
but I'm happy to see him there.
Yeah, that's probably where I'm at too, because I felt like, I mean, I kind of felt like,
or like
he certainly stole the scenes he was in. I thought, like, you know,
I think that's a me problem, honestly, because I'm the only person who had that reaction to it.
Like, I don't think George Clooney had to act very much to be Danny Ocean. Like, I kind of feel like he just is Danny Ocean. He just doesn't have to steal anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really feel like he had to act. I feel like he just kind of showed up and they're like, hey, be awesome. And he was like, gotcha covered.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
So I remember seeing a piece and I didn't read it because I was like, fuck this bullshit. I ain't even going to bother with it. They were like, you know, this movie resumes the debate as to whether Han shot first.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
there's no debate.
It does not at all. It's a definitive answer.
Lucas lost his mind one day does not make that a debate.
Right. Exactly. For two reasons. One, we know that he did.
Sure.
And two, he did hear.
Yeah, did it again, motherfucker.
That's why I didn't read it. Oops, I did it again.
Which was on purpose.
There's no debate. He shot him before he could shoot Han. I don't know what the debate is.
Nope.
He didn't go, oh my God, it went off. I was doing one of those cool things.
I thought the safety was on.
I was cleaning it and it shot you in the chest. Right. How weird is that?
God.
I was like, these motherfuckers are working. I'm like, first you make me watch Desolation, now you're going to post this bullshit? I'm taking you out of my feed.
But I'll tell you, though, that the whole double cross thing for the last half hour of that movie was fucking awesome. Like, who is double crossing who and when? This is this. It just kept going, and I was like, I am on for this.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea who is doing anything. And then the whole thing with the
the woman being the head of the guy, the
Kira.
Yeah. Yeah. Being the head of the crazy ass biker gang. And I'm just like, I don't, it was great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although that, I will say though, you know, it will be nice at some point if we can have a Star Wars movie that doesn't feel like all aspects of it have to tie into the things that were happening in Star Wars. Like Rogue One, I get it. That was the point. Right. Solo, yeah. You know, the Han Solo's time. But they're like, you know, we're a bunch of planets that are getting together and we're going to start a rebellion. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't need that. Like, I mean, I feel like it could have just been like, hey, these people come and they persecute us and steal our shit and we don't like it. That would be enough.
This is why The Last Jedi is so good. Because people bitch about it, but goddamn, can we move past the Skywalkers?
It's building a bigger galaxy.
Can we not do other shit? You know, exactly. Like, yeah. That's what's so great about, at the end of the day, when I've thought about Last Jedi and I processed it and I like it more when I think about it, I'm like, you know what? We're fucking done with Skywalkers. You know, thank God. I mean, yeah, Ben, sort of, whatever, but fuck, man, it's time. This is a massive fucking universe with so many interesting characters. Why do we always have to be focused on a fucking Skywalker?
Right.
Which is why I like Kira's character and the introduction of the Crime Syndicate so much. Because it's like, okay, there's another section of the galaxy we could go explore now.
And that is far more interesting to me than trying to make all of these little things tie in.
Yes.
To figure, like,
yes.
Like, it would be one thing. It would be one thing if these movies were, if it was kind of being done where almost like the Marvel way, right?
Yeah.
Like let's pretend New Hope and all that shit didn't happen. And you're saying, okay, here's a movie about a smuggler and they're starting a little rebellion. Here's this and here's that. And you could kind of see things unfold in what would be not real time, but kind of chronologically. You're watching the movie in the order in which the events occur in the universe themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then that would more make sense.
Right.
But it's like, look, we get it. You're under the yoke of this horrible organization. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, you'd want to fight back, but it doesn't have to be like, you know, we're building a rebellion. Right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then, because then it makes it, you know, as much credit as I want to give Han, like, he doesn't give a fuck about that shit in New Hope. He didn't give a fuck about it now. So it's almost like they were like, well, he, somehow it makes him a better character. What makes him a good character is that he didn't give a fuck, and then he did.
Right.
Like, that's what makes him a good character. Yep. Not that he cared all along. That he didn't care, and he learned to care. There's a lot of people who don't give a shit. And it's when they turn that corner and start caring that, you know, shows kind of growth. If they cared all along, it's still good, but it's not as interesting.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, you know what? All I'm going to say is if you've heard from people who are like, it's not that good or whatever, fuck those. Just go see it.
Make your own decision. That's what's amazing about this, though. When you look at all the stories from the last week or two, none of them are talking about it, whether the movie's any good. All they want to talk about is the box office. That's it.
Yep.
Right.
Nobody's talking about it being a bad movie, or hardly anybody is.
Right.
And go see it.
Yeah.
Go see it.
Yeah, I'm like,
and if you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's fine.
Right.
And if you want to wait, and when it comes out on video or rent it on your Apple TV, whatever the fuck, that's cool too. But the point is, don't let other people decide for you whether you should go see it.
Because honestly,
these days, you don't know where the fuck they're coming from.
Nope.
I mean, and my it's God. Sad. I mean, there was a time when you could bring up Roger Ebert or whatever, you could read, like, you would know, hey, the critic in my paper, they don't really like the same movies I do.
Yep.
Or whatever. And that's one thing. But to just nowadays, when you hear about, like, oh, this movie sucked, you have no idea whether that person is.
Exactly.
Whether they care about Star Wars at all, or they just feel like they have their own agenda that they're trying to push.
Well, and so it's the same as with the game's criticism. You've got to, if you're looking for critics, you've got to find the ones who will tell you what they thought in a way that lets you know if you would agree with them or not, regardless. That's what always makes Tom so good at what he does.
But what, but what's more attractive to Joe Q Internet is, oh, this is the most disliked Call of Duty trailer ever. Let's go click dislike. Yeah. What do you think about it? We didn't even watch the trailer. But it's the same thing with this. Like when I saw it, I finally watched it because I had to wait a week. And I finally saw it, and then I started, because I knew it was getting bad reactions. I didn't have any idea why. And then I watched it, and I was like, that was goddamn good. Like, what is the issue? And so I go to start reading these things, and I was just like, god damn, man, I'm shaking my head so hard, I was afraid it was going to fall off. I'm like, what?
And the sad thing is when you know, and this kind of bothered me, but I understand why, is, you know, this whole thing with Kelly Marie Tran getting, you know, harassed off of Instagram and people saying, you know, Star Wars fandom is toxic. Star Wars fandom isn't necessarily the problem, because I think part of the issue is that you have these people who just jump from thing to thing to fucking try to pollute it.
Absolutely.
They're not fans. They just see people who don't look like them potentially getting more screen time or page count or whatever you want to call it, more attention, and they just don't like it. So they try to shit all over it or get people to not buy into it. They're not fans of the thing itself. It doesn't matter whether it's comics or games or Star Wars movies or what it is. They're not, and I'm not saying this is for everybody, they're not true fans. They're just trying to stop what they see as a movement towards a just greater inclusion in storytelling. So on the one hand, I think to myself, well, that's not fandom. But on the other hand, you got Mark Hamill being like, dude, I've dealt with this shit for 40 years. And you go, well, some of it is.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it is. That's just – it's just a fact.
Right.
And just this idea that, hey, I didn't like Last Jedi, so you know what? I'm not going to watch Last Jedi again. And if Rian Johnson makes a movie, maybe I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
Or if I read a review of whatever the next Star Wars movie is, it's not like Last Jedi, I'm just not going to go see it. No, let's fucking tweet at Rian Johnson all the shit I don't like about your movie.
Right.
Well, who the fuck? Like, dude, come on. Like, there was a time when you could just not like something and be cool with just not liking it. It just wasn't for you. Good, bad, indifferent. Who cares?
Yep.
All the things that you liked before about it, they're still there. Go watch it.
Yep.
Read it.
Yep.
Experience it. Play it. Do whatever. But this idea that, like, if I don't like something, I got to tell everybody who made it.
Yep. Personally attack.
Ad nauseum.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
There's a tweet from a guy I followed. He does the pop culture or the cult pop comic book podcast, and he goes by Johnny Destructo. And he retweeted a guy who listed the stages of toxic fandom, and it's like stage one, I love this.
Oh, yeah. I
own this. I control this. I can't control this. I hate this. I must destroy this. It's like, you know, let's just check out at stage one.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you don't own this shit. Just stop with it already.
Right. And I mean, and the reality is these stories, if you want them, I mean, when you consider, you know, how long, you know, these things that we love, like the story, the horror, the comics, the Star Wars, even horror movies like Jason and Michael Myers. I would rather there be a shitty Michael Myers movie that gets someone who's never heard of him going, what the hell is this? And starts watching the original ones.
Yep.
Gets him interested in horror movies. Sees where he comes from. Gets him interested in other things. If it takes a bad Michael Myers movie to do that, I'm fucking all for it. If I don't like it, I don't care.
Right.
I'm just not going to watch
it. Just go on to the next thing.
Well, not just that, I'm just happy that Halloween is, 78? You know, I'm just happy that in 2018, it's still a thing. And it may not be the best Halloween movie, but guess what, motherfucker? I'm still getting to watch a new Halloween movie this year.
But
and this idea that these things can only exist if they're exactly the way that I want them is obscene. That's the way a child thinks.
Here's the thing, though. I do have a serious problem with the new Halloween movie, and I can't get around it.
Okay.
It's making me – seeing Jamie Lee Curtis making me feel old.
Well, apparently
I feel fucking ancient.
I'm excited about the teaser that came out today, and excited.
It looked cool. It just
apparently I'm stupid for that.
I thought
you know what? Cool. It's because y'all didn't watch Scream Queens.
I did. Did
you really?
Yes, sir.
I fucking loved her.
Show's
in that.
Fucking
she was great.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah. So go see it. If you've heard things and you're not sure, go see it. Make your own opinion. Or wait. Nobody's got to go see it in the theater. But don't see it because other people said they didn't like it.
The movie is as inoffensive as it comes. It's just a high rolling Star Wars adventure, man. I mean, there's really not much to go wrong with it. It's not taking any risks.
Right.
It's not. Right. It's not. And you would think that would satisfy people because it seems like where the risks come in is where they don't like it. But they have it all twisted in their fucking head that, this is somehow a referendum on Last Jedi, whatever. Fuck that, man. I ain't got time for that bullshit. Yep. I took my son. He loved it. I loved it. I'm out.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
Done.
That's all I need to know.
Exactly. Okay. So real quick, I don't know about you, Mitch. I am super fucking excited for Hereditary.
Fucking A, yes, sir. We talked about this.
Oh my God,
before.
I read a review that said it was like emotional terrorism, and I was yes!
We talked about this. I was going to bring this up because when we talked about it, we were wrapping up a show fucking forever ago, and you were like, I don't even know what's coming up soon. And I'm like, well, the two things I'm excited for this year are The Endless and Hereditary. And you're like, well, I don't know what those are. And so I was like, well, The Endless is the new thing from the guys that did Spring and Resolution. And Hereditary, I was like, I couldn't remember why I wanted to see it. And so I'm ready this time. So,
And I read a review when it was at it was either Sundance or Cons, I don't remember. And the guy who wrote the review, he said, I watch a lot of horror movies. I'm kind of numb to a lot of horror movies. Yep. And this movie fucked up my shit for days. Yep. And I was like, thank you, yes, I cannot wait.
I'm all in. Huh.
Which is a weird feeling to have.
Yeah,
trailer is fucked up, I can tell you that.
The thing,
it is super fucked up.
The thing, though, that I couldn't recall or whatever was it's the new thing from A24, and I'll watch every fucking thing A24 ever does, ever produces, ever puts out, ever distributes, whatever.
See, and I don't know anything. I don't know. I've never seen anything they've done.
Yeah, you
I
have.
Just know the trip.
A24. It's a production company. And they did Spring Breakers, Under the Skin.
Oh. Really, they did Spring Breakers?
Yes, sir. Tusk. It
no
gets better, bro.
Shit.
Ex Machina. What else did I see today? The Witch. Killing of a Sacred Deer. They did.
But the guy, the writer director.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with him
because he's done a bunch of short things.
Right, but it's the fact that A24 was producing this movie, and that's why I got excited for it. But I just couldn't remember that when we talked about it the last time we talked about it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But A24, so
that'll be next.
Yep.
Between that and E3, that'll be next.
Yep. Going this weekend. I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to see it this weekend. I'll see how it pans out. If it's not this weekend, it'll be next weekend or sometime over the week. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for hanging out. It's been a super long show. We appreciate it. Todd, thank you for coming back three times in a row.
Thank you for having me back. I wasn't even going to ask this time.
Well, you had mentioned last time that you wanted.
Yeah, you wanted to do it.
Yeah, solo. But I saw it. And I was like, I'll wait and see if I hear from Brandon. Then you paid me Monday. I was like, yes, he contacted me. Oh my God, I did the show.
Well, you are certainly welcome to come whenever you want.
Absolutely.
So, but for everybody, thank you so much. Of course, please like, comment, subscribe, do all that bullshit, whatever. Tell your friends on Twitter. Mitch is trying to get it hooked up on Spotify.
Yeah, we are. One other thing, real quick, before we sign off tonight. I tweeted it. I've done everything about it. I've publicly thanked everyone in the social medias, but just for anybody who only listens to the show and maybe doesn't pay attention to all my stupid social media ramblings, we crushed 1,000 downloads because we were, I think, 20 something short as of episode 48 or 47. Sorry. Well, 48 took us from, 970 some odd downloads to we're currently at like 1,020 something. So we fucking killed it. Thank you guys so much for downloading, for listening, for listening to our stupid asses. Like it's crazy the fact that as many people are listening as there are. It blows my fucking mind.
Very nice.
Yes. Yes. Very nice. So thank you. And of course, tell all your friends. And like I said, we're trying to get on as many. Mitchell texts me and be like, somebody asked me to put it on this service. And I'm like, I don't know. And then we figure it out and we do it. So, if there's somewhere you don't hear us, let us know. We'll do what we can to make it happen. At any rate, we thank you so much for hanging out with us. And then we hope you'll join us in the next couple weeks and to talk about E3 and Hereditary and whatever else comes to our mind. So for myself, Mitch, and Todd, this has been episode, what did we say?
49
of Divided by Werewolves. So thank you so much for hanging out with us. And good night, and have a good evening. And if I'm searching for the stop button, Todd. So
I have nothing loaded up whatsoever.